Mr. Depp, do you recall at the beginning of her opening, Ms. Heard's counsel mentioned that the first time you supposedly struck Ms. Heard was in response to a comment about one of your tattoos?
Yes, I remember.
And what is your response to that?
It didn't happen. I've never struck Ms. Heard. As I said yesterday, I've never struck Ms. Heard. I've never struck a woman in my life. I'm certainly not going to strike a woman if she decides to make fun of a tattoo that I have on my body. That's like going in into someone's journal and picking out things you don't like. She had made mention, there was no incident of argument when the tattoo thing had been brought up many, many times. And I mean, there's really nothing I can do. I've always thought of my body as a journal, if you will, to mark experiences, to mark life experiences. You know, for example, when my first child was born, I had her name tattooed over my heart, which is where her little head used to be when I rock her to sleep. I marked my boy's birth by tattooing myself for him. So no one can go back, or no one should go back and rewrite their journals. Why would I take such great offense to someone making fun of a tattoo on my body? That allegation never made any sense to me whatsoever.
Are there any tattoos that you had that Ms. Heard had an issue with, to your understanding?
A tattoo that I believe is up here, which used to say Winona Forever, who was a former girlfriend, and we'd been together for a few years, Winona Ryder, and When we broke up, how do you fix that? I did go back and rewrite my journal to some degree. I took off the last two letters and had it say Wino Forever, just because I thought it was again, through pain comes humor. Humor has to come in there at some point into the pain. And that's how you play it out in your mind. So I think sometimes abstractly, in that sense, so I changed it to Wino Forever. Any other tattoos? She was very encouraging in me getting a tattoo of her name, or whatever, and I waited a while, and then I did it. I got a full tattoo of her, and it ironically wasn't long after that that everything started going sideways. I was doing anything I could to bring a smile to her face, as opposed to the frown and then the onslaught of whatever whatever problems she was seeing or experiencing. I would try to wake her up with laughter. You know, singing stupid songs in her ear while she, you know, I generally just tried to keep bringing her mood up. Sometimes it worked, many times it didn't. But I tried, and I wanted to try, because as I said, I didn't want to fail. And at the time, not knowing fully, not understanding fully what I was, if you'll excuse the term, up against, I kept trying. I kept trying, but to no avail whatsoever. Okay, it just got worse.
Mr. Depp, I'd like to fast forward a little bit to May of 2014. Could you please tell the jury what project you were working on in May of 2014?
May of 2014? May of 2014, there were a number of films that I made in succession. I can't remember if that might have been Pirates. No, I can't. Mordecai, or may have, I don't remember. Can you remind me what May of 2014 film was?
Were you filming Black Mass in Boston of May of 2014?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Excuse me. Yes. 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 Oh yes. I was filming a film called Black Mass in Boston, and Ms. Hurd had come with me. And I had to, for the film, I had to, there were very early calls to work because I had a number of prosthetics glued to my face and blue contacts so that I could resemble the actual, it's based on the true story of James Bulger, James Whitey Bulger. And so I had to go in quite early to get the prosthetics glued to my face and all that, and work, then you'd work, you know, the whole day, and then at the end of the night, they would remove the prosthetics, which takes, if it took 3 hours to put them on, it took about an hour to take them off. You know? So on top of what could be anywhere between a 14, 16, 17 hour day of work, you know, what with the application of the makeup and then the taking off of the applications.
Was Ms. Hurd staying with you in Boston during the entire time that you were making that film?
Yes. Yes, she was.
And who from your staff was in Boston with you during that time?
Jerry Judge. Keenan Wyatt. Stephen Duders. Nathan Holmes, I believe. And I believe Malcolm Connolly was there as well. So I would have assistants, sound technician, security. I believe that was it.
Mr. Depp, we heard yesterday from Mr. Wyatt about a flight that you and Mr. Wyatt and Ms. Heard were on from Boston to LA in May 2014. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And could you please tell the jury what you remember about that specific flight?
I remember that as I was still filming Black Mass, before I did Black Mass, the film, my sister Christy and I were talking about the oxycodones that I had been. Again, you know, that was the monkey on my back. That she came to me, she told me she'd read this book of Dr. Kipper's book, and I read Dr. Kipper's book, a good majority of it, and I agreed that I would do the detox. I would kick the opiates, but there was no time to do it before the film. When the nurse, which was Nurse Debbie Lloyd, when she came to Boston, she had asked me, "What is your dosage? How many of these are you taking per day?" And you know, someone who had been under, under the kind of lock and key of a prescription drug that is highly addictive. I mean, with built-in barbs, that this drug does not want you to stop taking it. She asked me how many I took per day, or my dosage, and of course, as any person who is addicted and essentially a fool to the drug, and you know how important it is because you have felt the sting when you don't have it. So I'd agreed to the detox, and she asked me how many I took. I told her, obviously, more than I was taking, purely because when you're in that frame of mind, the one thing that you do not want to, a situation you don't want to find yourself in, is having no access to the thing that will make you not high. It will make you, it gets you, you only get better from it. If you start to get the shakes and the tremors and you could feel this traveling into your system. Your receptors are out in mass, and your receptors are demanding that drug. If you don't give the drug to the receptors, you will start going into a pretty nasty withdrawal, and it could, and has ended in, you know, sort of seizures. You can go into pretty nasty seizures. So I had told Debbie Lloyd more than was necessary so that I could always have one or two in my pocket on the just in case, so I didn't find myself, you know, on a plane or anywhere without one in my pocket to stop the inevitable body cramps and nausea and stomach cramps and seizure of the bones and shaking and also it's quite an emotional ride as well. So yes, before the flight, Amber and her assistant Savannah McMillan wanted to be picked up in New York and then have the plane fly to Boston to pick me up to bring us back to Los Angeles. We had spoken the night before. We had argued the night before. She was most definitely looking for a... She was looking for a fight, actively searching for a way to instigate a fight with me. And I had taken two of these opiates, these oxycodones, and I can tell you now, some of you may be very well aware of this, opiates are extreme downers. So if you have enough opiates in you, you will essentially go on what's called the nod. You'll just drop into sleep. So I've heard the words blackout used, and there's a grave difference between a blackout from alcohol abuse, because that is a person who has ingested enough alcohol to render them, they can still behave and they can still stand and talk and scream and yell and cry and do whatever they do and never remember a thing. And generally they're always embarrassed by it. But blackout is a very, very different animal to the opiate taking you into dreamland. So when I arrived on the plane, I was not feeling any pain, and I knew that she was ready for some kind of brawl, and I sat on the plane drawing. I was drawing in my notebook. She would verbally heckle, hassle, accuse, poke, prod physically, you know, poke and prod psychologically, emotionally, and finally, you know, as was my the one thing I learned, if you're gonna hide someplace from somebody, go straight into the bathroom. So I walked back into the back of the plane. I grabbed a pillow and I went into the bathroom, locked the door, and lay down on the bathroom floor and went to sleep. And that's where I remained for the rest of the flight.
How much, if any, alcohol had you had before you got on the flight?
I honestly don't recall having any alcohol. I mean, maybe there was the sort of glass of champagne when you got on the plane or something like that, the initial thing. You know, people order glasses of wine. People also tend to have a few drinks before a plane takes off, because some people don't like the turbulence and the this and the that, so it's a little bit of a liquid courage, you know. But I certainly, after ingesting two of the oxycodones, alcohol was not necessary. So I can tell you now that I was not drinking to excess, certainly not. And if I had, I'd probably been in the bathroom hugging porcelain as opposed to sleeping on a pillow.
Who else was on that flight that you can recall?
I remember Jerry Judge was on the flight. Savannah was on the flight. Ms. Hurd. Keenan. Wyatt. Stephen Duders. I believe that's it.
What do you recall happening after you arrived back in LA? Go back to the same home together after that flight?
No, I don't believe, no, we didn't. I don't believe we did. I think she had decided if this is the time. Pretty sure. I believe she had decided to check herself into the Chateau Marmont. If there's so many of these. It's hard to sort of keep them all straight.
Who would have paid for Ms. Hurd to stay at the Chateau Marmont?
I would have paid for it. If she wanted to go to the Chateau Marmont, I wasn't going to let her pay for it, no matter the circumstances. I wasn't going to let her pay for it because I knew that that might get expensive for her. So generally I would take care of things of that nature.
And why did Miss Hurd tell you why she was staying at the Chateau Marmont?
No. Well, I mean, she was clearly upset, and she was irate, I can't say that it was a bad idea for her to stay at the Chateau Marmont at that time. I don't know why she went to the Chateau, since she still had her apartment on Orange, I believe, and the penthouse, because I could have gone to Sweetser, but she went to the Chateau Marmont.
Mr. Depp, do you recall why you were flying from Boston to L.A. in May 2014?
I can't remember if it was a break from the film or if I had finished the film, and that was before we went, before I was supposed to go to the island to detox from the opiates.
I think I'm about to switch gears, is a good time for a break.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and have our morning recess. Please do not do any outside research and don't talk to anybody about the case, and we'll see you in 15 minutes, okay? Thank you.